From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, October 6th. I'm Abby Larico. St. Louis Sheriff Alfred Montgomery has been in office for about 10 months, and in that time, he's faced a slew of lawsuits and controversies over how he's handled his office.
Maybe I should have waited and met with different individuals on different policies that would affect the other individuals, you know, but we are here now.
Montgomery sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz to reflect on his time in office so far, and we'll hear what he has to say about it coming up after this news on The Gateway. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker says the Trump administration is sending 300 National Guard troops to the state. The weekend announcement follows weeks of the president alternating threats to send troops to Chicago and backing off from the idea. The governor says military officials gave him an ultimatum to either activate the Illinois National Guard or have the Trump administration deploy and take command of state troops. The deployment comes as federal immigration and customs enforcement agents have ramped up raids and arrests in Chicago, spurring protests that have led to clashes between activists and agents. Missouri National Guard troops deployed to help with federal immigration enforcement are working without pay during the ongoing federal government shutdown. Governor Mike Kehoe deployed the National Guard troops right before the shutdown began last week. Their mission is to provide immigration and customs enforcement with administrative, clerical, and logistical support. 15 Guard members were picked for ICE duty. State Senate Minority Leader Doug Beck of St. Louis told the Missouri Independent that the governor's decision to deploy was unnecessary because ICE is currently hiring. The governor said the move helps keep people safe and following the law. Cori Bush wants to go back to Congress. The former congresswoman announced her campaign to retake the seat she filled for two terms. She lost in the Democratic primary last year to Wesley Bell, who ultimately won the general election to represent the 1st Congressional District. Her decision is not a surprise, as Bush had been critical of Bell on a number of fronts, including his support for Israel's military invasion of Gaza. She also continued to speak out against how groups supportive of Israel spent millions of dollars to defeat her in 2024. Bush says she's running because St. Louis needs someone who is willing to advocate for marginalized people and against President Donald Trump.
Across the country, where are the fighters? And I've been hearing that. Well, St. Louis knows. If St. Louis knows one thing about me, whether you agree with all of my policies or not, you know I'm a fighter.
Bell released a statement saying, quote, Missouri voters already rendered their verdict when they voted her out of office last year and chose to move on, end quote. Since Missouri's St. Louis and St. Louis County-based 1st District is strongly Democratic, whoever prevails in next year's primary will be strongly favored to win in November. Missouri Secretary of State Denny Hoskins has submitted new ballot language for a proposed abortion ban. Peggy Lowe reports this comes after a judge told him his first attempt wasn't clear enough.
The revision is just one word, substituting the word repeal for amend. Judge Daniel Green had previously told Hoskins that his first attempt was, quote, insufficient and unfair because it failed to make clear that the proposal would repeal the state's constitutional right to abortion, which voters approved last year. Green also allowed the abortion ban proposal to be on the ballot next year if it plainly states its intent. I'm Peggy Lowe.
We're now 5 years into a voter-approved program to fix houses owned by St. Louis's land bank and put them back on the market. Nearly 200 homes have been stabilized and sold in that time. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Kayvon Mansouri reports, the program has its challenges.
Originally enacted in 2017, legal challenges delayed Prop NS's start until 2020. The program stabilizes homes from the city's land bank through nominations. Repairs are funded by an annual $6 million stipend. The homes are then sold to private developers who perform a full rehab. To date, 190 homes have been repaired and the city has sold 113, but only 12 owners have finished a full rehab. Sean Thomas is the program's director. He says it can be difficult for buyers to receive loans.
The very harsh reality is that redlining still exists, and a lot of those financial institutions are not making loans on the north side of the city or in the neighborhoods where we're doing stabilization work.
Thomas says the program's main objective of stabilization has been a success. I'm Kayvon Mansouri, St. Louis Public Radio.
St. Louis Mayor Kara Spencer wants rapid bus transit throughout the city, but as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, it's unclear if a sales tax that voters approved in 2017 can be used for the public transportation project.
Spencer pulled the plug on a light rail expansion last month and instead wants dedicated bus lanes to get riders to their destinations quicker. But Bi-State Development leader Talby Roach says one big question is whether a 2017 sales tax hike marketed to voters for Metrolink light rail expansion can be used to fund bus rapid transit.
And we have tried to look at what is the language within the ballot language and kind of done some legal reviews of it, and we're discussing it with the mayor.
Both Spencer and Roach have said that bus rapid transit is cheaper than light rail and may have a better chance of getting federal funding. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
It's Monday, and come November, that will mean no print edition of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Post-Dispatch Executive Editor Alan Ashkar said the paper will continue publishing its online edition on Mondays. The move comes as the newspaper's weekly print subscriptions dropped 91% from 2005 to 2024. That's according to the Alliance for Audited Media. Owner Lee Enterprises reported a $2 million net loss last quarter. Last month, Lee also shuttered regional food magazine Feast. Former DJs from radio station KDHX are announcing plans of their own. As St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports, the move comes in the wake of the community station announcing it has ceased operations.
KDHX had only been broadcasting old shows and music from its library since leaders stopped live programming in January before declaring bankruptcy. About a month ago, that programming was replaced by silence. Leaders of Double Helix, the nonprofit corporation that controls the station, said it will stay off the air while the transfer of its broadcast license to a Christian radio network is finalized. Double Helix said the station will be reincarnated in some way in late 2026 or 2027. It's previously said the station will go online. A group of station supporters said Friday it has found a home for the online station it hopes to launch by the end of the year, Lindenwood Park Place in St. Louis. That's a budding hub for community events. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listener support is St. Louis Public Radio's largest source of revenue and makes podcasts like The Gateway possible. Show your support for regional news by making a gift at stlpr.org, and thanks.
Alfred Montgomery became St. Louis sheriff in January, touting ambitions to make things better. But his tenure has been plagued with conflicts over spending, transporting detainees for medical care, and a removal effort from the Missouri Attorney General. And that's just the start. Montgomery sat down with St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz to explain himself.
We were able to get deputies a starting salary of $42,000 a year. We were able to fully staff the department. So we made a lot of changes within the office this far, and we're continuing to make the changes.
The city recently passed a bill requiring the sheriff's office to take detainees to the hospital when they need medical care. You asked a judge to prevent the new law from going into effect, but she recently denied that request. Is your office complying with the court order to transport jail detainees?
When it comes to state statutes and laws, that's what I abide by. And because that court order is in effect, I have to abide by that court order.
So is your office willing to transport these detainees to the hospital long term? And if so, how do you do it? What's needed?
Absolutely. I've been saying this since day one. I've said this to the budget chair over at the Board of Aldermen. All we need is additionally either 18 to 30 slots to transport these detainees safely to and from the hospital, and I will be more than happy to take on that duty. I care about the medical for those detainees and getting these detainees to medical care.
Earlier in the conversation, you said you were fully staffed, but now you're short-staffed. So
yes.
Can you just clarify what you
mean?
So
yeah, that's another thing that individuals kind of get confused. We're fully staffed for the sheriff's office duties. When we pick up other duties like hospital duties, we become short-staffed because we're not allocated to do those duties.
There's one media report that alleges your office spent nearly $30,000 on new badges, and you also purchased a new Chevy Tahoe. for the your and the department's use, that is. How do you justify the expenses that your office has had so far?
We had several individuals with badges still to this day that is no longer employed at the sheriff's office, utilizing them for when they get pulled over or utilizing them for when they're working different security details. So what I did, I changed the badge completely so we can know and identify who's a sheriff deputy and who's not a sheriff deputy. And that's what we did. I originally asked for $90,000 or more for vehicles for this agency. We have holes in the floors. The heat is not working in these vehicles. We have our outside service guys out there doing evictions and vehicles that can break down any time.
You faced a lot of criticism during your time in office. Thinking back, is there anything that you would have done differently so far?
Maybe I should have waited before spending on some things in the office. Maybe I should have waited and met with different individuals on different policies that would affect the other individuals, you know. But we are here now. We attempted to meet with individuals. We attempted to reach out to individuals just to have the doors shut in our face. So it's like you're set up for failure. And I guarantee if we had a good transition, we wouldn't be going through any of this stuff.
And Sheriff, we're sitting with you now. So what's your elevator pitch on why people should trust you?
A lot of people should trust me because they elected me as their sheriff. Although they see these different misleading news allegations, I've proven them wrong once. They said that I hired my brother. That turned out to be a complete lie. You have to ask a question, what else is a lie? What's really going on?
That was St. Louis Public Radio's Brian Munoz speaking with Sheriff Alfred Montgomery. You can hear an extended conversation with the sheriff at stlpr.org. The report was edited by Jessica Rogan with production assistance from Chad Davis. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.